Hey, welcome back to TG2. It's Knutson. We're hanging out here again on another Thursday morning. Hopefully everybody's safe. Everybody's hanging out at home. If you can, if you're one of those essential medical workers or people who, you know, need to be at work, you know, making this country run still, just want to say totally appreciate everything you're doing. And thank you for the sacrifices you're making to your family, to potentially your health, everything. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I'm just a guy talking golf. You know, what you're doing out there is really, you know, really hero stuff. So really appreciate it. And, you know, we're all still hoping we can get through this stuff soon, get onto the golf courses, get onto regular everyday life, be able to, you know, hug your grandparents, all that. So hopefully everybody's being safe there and we'll, you know, get through it as fast as we can. Hopefully right now we can, you know, talk a little golf and see what's going on. I'm actually going live on Instagram as well while I record this. But before we get going, this episode here brought to you by Titleist and the Pro V1, Pro V1 X, AVX. So if you haven't tried Pro V1, Pro V1 X, you don't golf a whole lot. But just know, I mean, you're looking for more speed, more precision, more consistency in your game. Pro V1, Pro V1 X deliver. And they're designed for your game regardless of your swing speed, your handicap, any of that. I personally played Pro V1 for most of last year, switched over to Pro V1 X for, actually I played Pro V1 X probably most of the year last year, and, you know, I loved it. It spun a little more, flew a little higher, was basically what I needed. You know, my iron shots especially just wasn't hitting them high, so went Pro V1 X instead of Pro V1, and played it for pretty much all the year, most of the year. So I'll be doing, starting off the year with Pro V1 X. We'll see where I go from there this year, but check out Titleist.com and check out the Pro V1 X. So, again, here kind of recording on YouTube, on Instagram Live. If you guys have any questions or anything, throw them out there. We'll talk about them. It's interesting. I you know, through all this, you know, mess going on right now, I ordered a SIM driver, I don't know how many weeks ago, probably a month ago, right around that. And it was one of those things where super excited. I got to hit the SIM back in October over at the Kingdom. We were out there, Johnny Wonder and I got to hit the sim before I was allowed to talk about it, anything like that. I probably hit like a dozen shots, and it was just basically sim max, here's a shaft, boom, go. And I hit like, you know, like I said, a dozen balls, something like that. And it was really good. I really, really liked it. I mean, I wasn't warmed up. It wasn't anything. It was literally, we were there for, you know, doing some photo video stuff at the Kingdom and at TaylorMade, and they just, you know, gave me the shot to go hit a few. So hit a few balls, really liked it, thought the Sim Max was more my speed. So finally ordered it, and, you know, it came in. I've been working from home for the past, I think this has been my fourth week working from home, and it's one of those things where it just, like, it showed up, and it just sat at the office. It's been sitting at the office for 2 weeks. So I ordered my Sim Max, 10.5 degree, and I just ordered it with the stock Ventus Blue, you know, 6X, the non-velo core, all that. So I ordered it that way. I went to pick it up yesterday. Yeah, I went yesterday because I have a monitor at work that I wanted to bring home. That's just, you know, since I've been working from home for a while, I'm going to be working from home for the foreseeable future here. I wanted to make things a little easier, so I had another monitor I wanted to use and all that. So I went to pick that up, grabbed my SIM driver. And super excited. It was great sitting there, you know, in the box, opened it up, took it out of the bag, and I looked at it, and I also ordered a Club Connects tip. Like a lot of you guys know, you know, that I've been using Club Connects for, this will be my second year in a row for my drivers, so I basically can take any head, any shaft, and they all work together. So I had a TaylorMade sleeve ordered, SIM driver there, and I basically grabbed those two things. I took my wrench out of my desk, my TaylorMade wrench, unscrewed it, took the shaft, threw it down on the desk, the standard non-velo core Ventus, and basically took the head and head cover and took off. Like, didn't even bring the stock shaft home. I was like, there's no point to this. So took that thing, and I'm back home right now. I popped out. For Club Connects, you got to pop off the screw and put in the Club Connect screw, which is a little longer to deal with the sleeve and their adapter. But anyway, went through that, and right now it's sitting, I don't know, well, if you're on YouTube, you can see it's behind me. But yeah, have that thing going there with a Graphite Design GP7X, which is sitting it right now, which is a shaft I had a ton of success with in my 2017 M1. that head, that shaft combo I played most of the year. I didn't really switch a whole lot of things out, which was, you know, kind of unique for me. So it's sitting back there ready to go as soon as we're able to, you know, get out there and play. But it's always cool to get a new club. You know, it always is exciting to get new clubs in. It's just such a weird time right now to get new clubs. You know, like you get a new driver and it's just going to sit there now. You know, maybe you're in a place where you can go play around here, Michigan, Metro Detroit, at least. I don't think any club courses are really open. It's a bummer, but you know, what can you do? You got to just kind of wait. So, you know, it's just going to sit here and I'll give it a few waggles here and there when I'm down here in the basement. And, you know, that's just what's going to happen. So it's a little bit of a bummer, but it's still exciting to get new clubs. I'm always excited. I definitely want to hot melt the thing. It's a little light swing weight wise because this plays 40. I'm like 44 and a half to 45, depending on my mood. So I think the GP7X is like 44 and three quarters. And it comes in a little light. I think it comes in at like D0, right about. I threw it on there. I don't remember exactly, but it's like D0. So I'll definitely have to hot melt that thing, get it up to, you know, D2, which is what I like. And also it'll help, you know, deaden the sound, but reduce, you know, some of the sound, give it a little better feel. So I'll be doing that shortly whenever I get bored. Maybe I'll record it. Maybe I'll sit here on Instagram Live and do it. But it's one of those things where just need to, you know, mess with clubs. It's something to get me by. So it's exciting. So I've got that, and it'll be that and Burst Maverick, really, when I'm able to go out. Those are the two. You know, Maverick was kind of the leader in the clubhouse going forward. Just got my sim. So those two, you know, the Cobra's still there. I've still got the Cobra Speed Zone. I do like it. The Maverick was a little better on TrackMan right out of the gate. We went to, you know, playing on some TrackMan simulator stuff. So Maverick technically took the lead, but, you know, I'm still going to get out on the course and see what happens, because for me, that's always the biggest thing. It's under pressure when you only have one shot. You're not just sitting on the range or hitting ball after ball at the range or on a TrackMan. It's when you're standing there hitting balls and you look at that fairway and that's the only shot you got. That's what really tells the tale. So we'll still take, you know, everything out there and try it, but I did get that in, which is kind of exciting. Like I said, GP7X is going to start. I hit the Ventus Blue really well, so Ventus Blue is really going to have a shot in there as well. I've got a Rogue white that came in the Maverick that, you know, it's just the stock Aldo, the 130 white. I definitely want to hit it just to try it, because I haven't hit, you know, a much Aldo stuff since the original Rogue 110. And then I hit a 125 as well, but played the 110 for a while, but I really haven't hit much Aldo stuff since then, because there hasn't been a ton that's really grabbed my attention. I know people for a while went like, was Synergy Black was a huge one because it was so low spin and all that. I don't need crazy low spin. So for me, it was a cool shaft and it was exciting, but I didn't go lusting after one. So it's interesting, but yeah, I got that at home. I've got my putting mat. I just went in part of my going to work. I had a perfect practice putting mat there as well. So I snagged that up. I have it at home, just started putting with it. It's a really nice mat. It's got a little, I'd say my only gripe to it is there's two and they're super minor. The one gripe is right where the ramp kind of goes up to the two cups. There's a large cup and a smaller cup. There's a little bump there in the fabric, or the green in quotes, but the fabric there kind of has a bump, but it doesn't really affect the roll. And the only other thing is really, again, minor, that the ball return is kind of slow. It almost needs like a touch more slope to it, not make me 1 degree or half a degree or whatever, just to get the ball back a little faster, because sometimes, depending on how level your floor is, it doesn't really come back that quick. But overall, it's a really good mat. I like it. It's got some alignment lines on it that kind of work with the alignment aid on my Odyssey Black 10. And I like how it's going so far, and it kind of scratches the itch a little bit. So far, those are my things that I'm just hanging out on and getting me by. But on Instagram Live, what's up, Newton? Good to hear your silky tones. Thanks, man. Detroit Golf Club fitter guy. Awesome, man. I don't know exactly who you are because I can't click on it, but if you're a Detroit boy, we should try to play sometime. But my silky tones, love it. Home NSNV. Sup, homie? What's going on? J13, I will always acknowledge you. And I like that you told Bacon, you know, told me that Bacon, because Bacon is life. But sneaking on courses, as much as that is probably viable, I don't know if I necessarily need to go sneaking on courses yet. So we'll see. I might get to that point. We have a long way to go, I feel like, so it could still happen. But Detroit Golf Club Fitter Guy, what irons are you considering for the season? Well, actually, right now, if I had to go play right now, I would play take my PXG Gen 2 tees. That's what I would play. They've got Project X, Catalyst 6.0, hard step once, graphite shafts on them, which are actually really good. I like the Catalyst. It's a little tighter for me feeling than Recoil was. It doesn't have as smooth a feel as, say, Fujikura MCI, or I haven't really hit MMT yet, so I can't compare, but from what people are describing it, it doesn't probably feel as solid as those two. But the ball flight's, you know, I would say mid-low. It spins a little bit, especially if you're a really steep player. The Catalyst will spin a little bit, but overall, really good shafts, kind of stiff butt section, almost a hazardous profile. So if you got a quick tempo like me, they're really good. But for this year, I'm hoping they'll be here tomorrow. I've got a set of T100s coming. So I've got a set of, it's kind of a weird combo set. It's a 4-iron is the U500, the title is U500. 5-iron is going to be a T200. And then T100, 6 through 9. And then I think there's an, I don't know if it's SM8 or SM7 pitching wedge. Johnny Wonder actually had the set. I think he got fit into him. And then he kept going with, I think, Cobra and Sirksan. He's got like a weird combo set going. So I think he stuck with those. And he basically said, do I want to try them? So I think they're coming with KBS C-Taper 130s, which is way more than I need. So those are going to go. I'll either go to my trusty Project X 6.0s, or I'll put in some Nippon Modus 125s that I've got. So one of those two will go in, and then we'll get them out and hit them, and those will be a much better test. Detroit Club Fitter Guys, and my boy Adam White, he's actually the guy who fit me into my Srixon irons, was it, oh, 2 years ago now? Hell of a guy. If you're a Detroit local guy, go to Club Champion, ask for Adam, great dude. J13, it's a misdemeanor. Yeah, that's true. It's a misdemeanor jumping on the golf course and just playing, but I don't know. Hey, man, I've got kids. So MMTs are the bacon of golf shafts. That's what I've heard. I definitely will be trying MMTs as soon as I can get my hands on some 125 stiffs. If they come out, which the rumor is they will come out or might be coming out, I will definitely be trying MMT 125 stiffs. The TX just isn't my thing. I don't swing hard enough. I hit like a 160 to maybe 165 7 iron. I don't hit it super high. So for me, a 125 TX, even if you soft step it, is probably going to be way too much club or way too much shaft. So for me, I've got to stick with something more on the stiff route. But like I said, if those come out, I definitely will try to get my hands on them, try to hit them, and see where they go. Jeff Pete 90, is there a big difference between Tour Issue X100s and Nippon Modus 105X? To me, yes. I think the X100s play much more stiff. They feel more stiff. The 105s feel smoother. The 105s for me also launch higher. You know, they launch a little higher than the X100. And I know the X100 is not the craziest lowest launching shaft out there. For me, it launches a little lower. It's weird. Like S400 is kind of higher launching. It spins a good amount. X100 is really low both. Low launch, low spin. The Modus 105 for me kind of launched high. Like it launched high. It kind of spun a little bit. I didn't really enjoy playing the 105. I like more weight anyway, but the 105 for me just, it launched a little higher and spun a little bit. So I wouldn't play either one really, but if you put a gun to my head and say, hey, you plan to play him, I'd probably play the Modus. But again, that's, you know, that's the difference. MM teams are money. I know, Adam, they are, but maybe one of these days when the Club Champion here opens, I'll come in and hit them. JP thinking about going lighter, but afraid the ball flight will change. Yeah. Like I said, everybody's different in terms of how shafts are going to perform. So for me, like I said, Modus 105s launched high. I hit them, and again, I didn't hit X100s and Modus in the exact same heads or anything, but just hitting, you know, iron, kind of multiple irons with each shaft, you know, the 105 just launched higher for me. So, you know, if you need a little height, you know, if you're looking for the exact replica of an X100, I don't think Modus 105X is the way to go. But again, mileage is going to vary because everybody swings it a little different. Everybody loads it a little different. So, you know, it's one of those things you probably just have to go try it and see where it goes. Now, the other thing that I was kind of reading today and kind of enjoying, really, so our boy Ryan Barath has just an affection for old clubs. He's ordered like an old Nike, you know, SQ needing at the square, but he's like the Sasquatch SQ driver, and he just loves it. But he did a great article about the greatest Adams hybrids of all time. Now, if you don't remember Adams, you're probably a much younger person than a lot of us, but Adams Golf, back in the day, made some really great equipment for not only the higher handicap guy, you know, who wanted hybrids or high launching irons and needed forgiveness, but they made some really great stuff for the low handicap player and especially hybrids. And so he made an article talking about the greatest hybrids of all time. And it's interesting because the first one out of the gate is the Original Idea Pro, which was 2008. I actually thought it was older than that. I thought it was, you know, a couple of years older than that. But that Original Idea Pro was awesome. I remember that was the first shaft, had that Autola VS Proto, the blue Autola VS Proto. And it was just like, that was the hybrid that everybody wanted. It had a great little shape. I think it was, you know, it was kind of the, I think there was a tour, prototype. Was that the first one that had like the peanut nickname? It might have been. But it just had a great rounded shape to it. It was small, compact. The face was pretty deep, so you could hit it off the tee, you could hit it off the turf. It was just a really versatile hybrid. And I remember I had one. I don't remember what loft. It was probably like a 20-ish, you know, 21 degree with that 80-gram Autola VS Proto. And it was just an awesome hybrid. It was one of those ones that everybody came in looking for it. I worked at a shop, and everybody came in, and that was the one they wanted to see. They wanted to hit. It was just like that first hybrid, at least in recent time, that was really kind of marketed towards the better player. And I remember that we sold a ton of them there, just an absolute ton of them. But it was a great hybrid. It had the silver sole, had a little bit of yellow on the back radius, and then like a little weight right in the middle that had the typical Adams like triangle wrench to take it out. But it was a really awesome hybrid. I had one. It was great. I think, you know, in his list, that is the ultimate out of the ones that he has. To me, that's probably the favorite. If I had to go get an old Adams hybrid, I would probably snag up an Idea Pro. It was just that good. And I remember later on, I think they comboed it with like a forged iron set. So it had like a 3-4 iron was the Idea Pro. And then it had Idea Pro irons, which were just a small cavity back forged iron. And I think it had like kind of a satin finish, and the cavity was like this gray rubberized kind of paint, if I remember correctly. So it was a great hybrid, and one of those ones that I think lasted forever. I mean, it was one of those ones that they came out that I think the next one was like a square version of it, because that's when square was really big, and it was horrible looking. I remember seeing that thing in the shop, and I thought it was just terrible. But they came out with the square one, and hardly anybody went to the square one. Everybody kept the old one in the bag because it was just that good. Vince El Mario had a peanut 16 one iron. I remember seeing it in the shop. I couldn't hit that thing more than 6 feet off the ground. But yeah, they made a 16, an 18, so it had to be a 20. I think they went in 2-degree increments, and they made, you know, I think what, through 4-iron. I don't know if they made a 5. They might have made a 5 in the square version, but the square one was horrible. I don't know anybody who really switched to the square one. Everybody kind of kept the old Idea Pro, and it was great. The next one he had on the list was a 2014, the XTD. So the XTD, which they, I believe was the titanium one, but it had a great shape, had adjustable hosel. I think that was that right when TaylorMade bought them? It could have been like the first, you know, one of the first or last iterations. But the XTD line, I mean, the hybrids were great. The fairways, they had an amazing shape to them. I didn't hit the XTD all that well. I don't necessarily know why, but I really loved the shape. I remember when we saw it, or I saw it on Golf WRX, we had spy photos of it. All I wanted was to go get one of those. And I got, you know, I probably went to Carl's or something and went and hit it. And it was one of those things that just didn't hit it well. So for me, it never made it into the bag, but I really loved the shape. It just had I'm a rounded hybrid guy, you know, the really squared off, you know, square toed type hybrids. I just don't love those. So for me, I like a little more roundness to it. I like the almost that mini fairway wood type of look. And that XTD was to me like a great shape. The next one there was the XTD super high, the super hybrid. So they had a whole line of super, and the super hybrid titanium from 2012 was a great one. That's one that I did own one of those. That was a great hybrid. Again, the shape was perfect. It was a little more rounded, more fairway wood looking. Kind of had that speed, little speed slot right near the front. It was a little bigger than some of the previous ones. It was a little, you know, bigger footprint to it, but it was a great hybrid. That thing was crazy long. I think they made those in a pretty low loft, like a 17 degree, stuff like that. You could basically almost replace your three wood with it, but that was a great one there. It definitely did, you know, launch a little higher. It had, I think, like zero spin to it, but it went a mile. The thing was crazy long. And it had that silverish paint, because I think that's also, I mean, TaylorMade owned them at that time, and I think instead of doing white, they did like the light silver, and it was just kind of a great looking hybrid. The other one, the next one on his list, the Super 9031. So the 9031 was when they went super tiny. It was basically a driving iron on steroids. It was a little bigger than that. It still had a speed slot, just like the TaylorMade stuff did and the Adam stuff before it. Still had the weight in the middle, but the 9031s were tiny. I remember I saw them. I think I hit them at like demo days and stuff like that or whatever. Not for me. They weren't forgiving enough for me. But I remember the thing being tiny. A ton of guys who you know didn't necessarily hit hybrids well really hit the 931s well because they were basically irons. They had a little deeper face to them. They were, you know, I think crazy long. Like I said, I hit them, but they just weren't for me. They weren't forgiving enough. But it's a great little hybrid. Had the white paint to it. I want to say it had like a little thing on the top, almost like a racing type stripe that said like super or something on it. But it was a great hybrid, and a lot of better players had those things in the bag. I remember looking through people's what's in the bag in the forum for a long time, and those stayed in there. They went in the bag really quickly. So the 9031 was really good, just unfortunately wasn't for me. Now the 07, here's the one that I don't agree with, and Barath and I love Barath, and we typically have somewhat differing opinions on clubs sometimes. But the 2007, the Idea Boxer A3, which was the more squared off version, and there was, I think, a pro version of this as well, or the pro one might be before the A3. But the square ones were so ugly. They were just they looked terrible. They had, because they weren't like, they were square, but they were still trying to be a hybrid, so they're still kind of rounded, and they just weren't great looking hybrids. They looked bad. They didn't sound as great as, you know, the standard ones. I know that, you know, that the, yeah, see, there was the Idea Pro, the A3, and the A3 OS, but it was just, yeah, the square stuff was just, I didn't get it. I know everybody went like, you know, drivers, fairways, you know, there was all this mass that could move around and really far out and increase the MOI, all that jazz. I just didn't think that the hybrids did anything because it was such a small package. I mean, you're really not moving a ton of weight because the head's still fairly small. So how much weight can you really move out to the ends or the back or the outside of the club when you're only dealing with such a small club head? But that one I don't really agree with. I'm trying to think what I would put in there instead of that. I don't know if I would. I guess if you had to come up with five, you know, that one's on there. But I think I would have just left the list without it because I just don't see where that A3 was that. I mean, it was there, and like a lot of guys probably played it, but I it wasn't one for me, that's for sure. So not something that I was a big fan of. But, you know, the Pro Black could have been one there instead of the A3. The Pro Black was really good. And the DHY. Yeah, I forgot the DHY, which was like it was basically a driving iron with a little back on it. It was basically a hollow driving iron. And those things were all over the forums. Anybody who couldn't hit a hybrid had DHYs, or at least trying DHYs. Those things were all over the forum because guys just, if you couldn't hit a hybrid, it was one of the few things that, you know, was out there that gave you a little different ball flight, maybe a little higher than your standard, you know, three iron or two, you know, three iron, but it still, you know, offered maybe a little more forgiveness, a little more height, and, you know, maybe a little more ball speed because of the hollow construction. So it was just one of those things where those two, I think, could have maybe taken the space of the A3. But overall, I love Barath's little throwback articles because he does love some old equipment. It's funny when you talk, because you can look through your old stuff. Like, I'm sitting here looking at my, you know, up from my desk, and there's a Tour Issue FT Tour sitting up there, a Razor Fit Extreme forward with a Diamana Blue Board 93X. I mean, I've got some old, not as much as he does, but I've got a few old things up there. So that'll be, those are interesting. Every once in a while that FT Tour makes it out to the old range and I'll hit a couple good shots with it and I'll be like, oh yeah, let's take this thing to the course. And then you get it out on the course and it's like, nope. There's a reason why I stopped playing that thing back when, you know, when I did. It's just, it wasn't forgiving at all. So, but again, sitting here on Instagram Live, also recording. So anybody who's watching this on Instagram Live is also hearing basically the podcast for tomorrow or today as you're listening. So on the site, I was running through the forum and there was an interesting thing under the equipment section where the user Great GR8 Flopshot kind of had a question about, you know, he's been playing golf a long time and played just about every major OEM's equipment at some point. And was wondering, though, there's such a fascination with these, as he calls them, boutique companies. You know, the National Custom Works, the, you know, Artisans, the, you know, like he lists like Sub 70. Like, there's so many of these now boutique type companies out there that make much smaller quantities and all that. They do a lot of custom stuff. A lot of the putter companies out there who make, you know, a lot of milled putters like Olsen and, you know, like Slider. I mean, there's so many Lamb. I mean, there's all these guys. And basically saying, like, you know, what makes you buy a boutique club? And it's interesting because I think when I look at it, like, I love the boutique stuff and I love it for what it is. There's so much custom work. There's so much creativity. There's so much, you know, nobody has to go up the ladder 10 rungs to get, you know, something approved in terms of design, whatever. Like, when they make something, it comes out and it's just, here it is, it's cool, this is what I wanted to make. And if you don't like it, oh well. There's people out there who do, where companies like TaylorMade's, Titleist, Callaway's, all that, you know, when they come up with a design, there's probably 50 people who sign off on it and say, yes, that looks good. You know, and then you get a club like the Maverick, which, let's be honest, most people don't like the orange and black and gray and all that. And then you have something like Sim, where people tend to like the chalk, as they call it, that color and the graphite and the blue. Just really depends. But, you know, the boutique stuff, my thing with boutique is like I said, I really love it. I follow a ton of them on Instagram. I love seeing the, you know, especially putters, just like how cool the stuff that some of these people are coming up with, the designs, the machine work, what they're able to mill into these heads, all that. Super cool. Love it. But my question is, and I think he, like, you know, Great Flopshot brought it up, where all these boutique people, like, they typically make good putters, good irons, good wedges. Like, those things are always usually pretty good. And they usually offer a lot of custom. Like, wedges, you can get a ton of different grinds. You can, you know, give different finishes, all that stuff. But where they fall behind is woods. And basically asking, you know, like, is it just because, you know, is it because of marketing? Is it because of, you know, R&D, all that? You know, and then that's a great question because, like I said, I love boutique stuff. I think it's super cool. I follow a ton of, you know, small makers. But the question is, yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to woods or even irons, does a boutique manufacturer who makes a couple, you know, let's say 500 to 1,000 sets total irons a year, you know, they don't have an R&D budget and all that say, like, that Titleist, Callaway, all those guys have. Like, those people, I mean, you can say what you will about marketing. That's fine. Like, I get it. People will say, well, they market this one better than that one, and that's why it sells. But for most of us, especially golf WRXers, it's all about pretty much performance and a little bit about looks, but a lot of it's performance. And when you look at those big companies, the TaylorMade's, Callaway's, Titleist's, you know, you throw in their Cleveland Strix on, all those, you throw those guys in there, the R&D budgets are insane. Like, the amount of prototyping they're doing, the amount of engineers they have working, the amount of the years of experience they have in those buildings from making clubs over generations to now. I mean, that's why I don't think any boutique company like a National Custom Works decided to make a driver. I just don't think they'll ever be able to make one that's as good as a Sim or a Maverick or a TS2 or TS3 or, you know, a Cobra Speed Zone or whatever. I just don't. I look at those guys don't have the engineering, you know, they don't have the money to put the engineering into it to make it, you know, as good. I just think they play in a different league. I think wedges, putters, no problem. I think you can kind of play with anybody in those arenas. If as long as you kind of have the ability to, you know, get your machining right, get your materials, all that, those arenas, I think anybody can play in. But when it comes to woods, I don't think you're ever going to see a small company come out with a driver that just blows everybody away. Not now. I mean, they may have happened before. I remember like Casco had some crazy hot drivers and stuff like that. But nowadays, I mean, you're going up against juggernauts. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you coming out with your own running shoe and expecting to beat Nike and Adidas and that. Like, do you know how much money they put into technology and R&D and all that? You're not playing in the same arena. I mean, I think even companies like Crank Golf, who make long drive stuff, and they make these crazy long drive heads and they make some good stuff. You know, it'd be interesting to see, do those guys even have the ability to put their heads up, you know, on TrackMan and, you know, versus a Maverick, whatever, are they able to compete? Because again, you're looking at, you know, so much money in R&D, and I just don't know if anybody can play there. Like I said, I mean, irons, wedges, putters, pff, no problem. You know, you're going to make stuff that looks good, performs great, feels good. You're going to get, you know, better custom options, all that with those boutique companies. But, you know, even when you start looking at irons, though, I mean, you start looking at, you know, P790s and, you know, Titleist TMBs or concept irons, you know, Callaway's Epic Forge, you're starting to look at these crazy multi-piece heads. And even that, do you think the boutique guys can play in there? Or is it just strictly, if you want boutique irons, you want something that's more like a blade or a forged cavity back that doesn't have technology, but you're going to get the cool finishes, cool stampings, cool everything. You know, you get that experience with them. And, you know, I think it's going to be, as time goes on and these irons become more advanced and you're seeing more tech go into those, you know, I think boutique is going to turn into, you know, it's pretty much you're going to give up some performance to have that club. And, you know, people may not agree with me. Let me know if you do or don't. But I just don't think, you know, a five-man shop making irons, you know, you're going to have the ability to produce a club that performs like, you know, a TMB or a, you know, even a T200 or something like that, an Apex. I mean, it's really going to be tough to pull that off, you know. And then on the other side of it, how do you sell them for the exact same price or more than, you know, Callaway, TaylorMade, whoever? I mean, if you got to charge $2,500 for yours, you know, what's to say somebody's going to pay for that over a big OEM, you know, when you're looking straight at performance, which is kind of interesting. So it's an interesting discussion. I'm kind of going to keep following along. There's been some, you know, some interesting comments about guys saying, hey, you know, the Wishon 919 line was really good. And it was, you know, some of the guys bringing up JDM stuff, which I don't look at that as boutique. I mean, a Yonex E-Zone 420. I mean, that's something that you don't see much here in America, but you typically see a good amount, you know, you'll see more of that in Europe, Asia, you know, those markets that play more Yonex stuff. So I don't look at that as really boutique. That's more just kind of JDM, which to me is a little different. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, like I said, the guys from Sub 70 are going to be trying to do this stuff. I mean, you even kind of throw Hogan, you know, Ben Hogan a little bit into that. They're a little bit more boutique in a way where they've now have drivers, woods, all that. It's, you know, it's interesting to see how those compare, you know, to the big name drivers. So, but, yeah, so, all right, let's see. PDX Pep on Instagram here. Difference in one inch for 1x30 versus 1x42 belt sanders for shaft prep. Really, there's not going to be a difference. You're basically just looking at belt length. So you're still one inch wide belts. So if you're, you know, prepping all that, you're still going to prep the same amount of area. Really, you're just looking at belt different, you know, length differences. So I don't see where there's really going to be much of a difference there, you know, going with either one. I want to say mine is a 1x30. It's smaller. So I think it's 1x30. The only thing I would say, maybe 42s, belts might be harder to find, depending on where you're getting them and where you're looking for them. That could be harder to get to. But other than that, I don't think there's a big difference to, you know, between those. So, let's see. What else do I got here? It's such an interesting time with not a whole lot of golf going on. If you didn't see in the forum under the Tour and pre-release, my giveaway for Golf Pride sets of grips. Three people are getting a full set of grip. All you do is submit your a picture of your gripping station, which I did, but I don't count, unfortunately, which is kind of a bummer because I think I've got a pretty nice setup, but I don't count. It's all right. The other interesting thing that I've kind of excited for and I haven't had a chance to hit or anything yet, I think Johnny Wonder did, is the Hanma TR20 drivers. You know, they've got a 460 and a 440, but really interesting drivers. I mean, you're looking at, you know, a kind of a titanium structure with a bunch of carbon all over it. I like the shapes of them. The 460 is definitely a little longer. I mean, the 440 is the one that looks amazing, but I know that's not really my game. But the TR20 stuff really does look good. I mean, it's got the kind of, you know, traditional shorter hosel and all that, but I really like how they look. They've got their three weighting systems. So you've got a weight right near the face in the center. You've got a weight far back and then one kind of in a draw position in the heel. So you can kind of move those weights around, kind of tune your ball flight. It's got adjustable hosel. But I just really like how those drivers look. It's going to be interesting to be able to hit them. I haven't had a chance yet. Like I said, I think Johnny hit one like three balls at the PGA show. I remember by the time I got to that booth, I was frozen and wind burned, and I was just like, I'm done. So I didn't hit any there. But it's an interesting club that I think Hamna's been putting a ton of money into a lot of their stuff. I mean, I know everybody's sitting there and saying, oh, Justin Rose left. That doesn't bother me. I mean, that guy's a pro, and he's got different things that, you know, are his issues or his, you know, things that he's moving on for are different. For me, I think it's a company that, man, the driver I really like the look of. I think it looks great. The irons, I mean, if you look at the TR20V, TR20P, I mean, those things look good as well. They're a little more rounded. I remember when I had like J13 on the podcast talking about how he really liked the Hamna stuff with the TW737s, which had a little sharper toe to them. TR20s are a little more rounded. I kind of like that. I really do like the TR20V. I don't know if I necessarily have the game to play it, but I could maybe do a combo set of TR20P, TR20V. So the V is the one kind of one piece forged cavity back, smaller. The TR20P has kind of a cavity in behind it. Looks like it's a multi-piece forged. It's a little bigger, a little thicker top line, little wider sole, but both irons look really good. I like the roundness of them. To me, that's just something I like. So I'm excited to kind of hit the new Hamna stuff. I know that, you know, like I said, people are going to say, you know, hey, Justin Rose left, so maybe that isn't, you know, maybe the stuff's not as good as it should be. I don't think that's the case at all. I just think the stuff looks really good. And price-wise, I mean, it's a little more expensive, but it's not crazy expensive. But it's just, you know, it's good-looking stuff. I'm excited to hit it. Some of the, you know, people on the forum there talking about it are same thing, you know, looking forward to hitting, you know, TR20 versus 747s. And it will be interesting because those irons, I think, are kind of marketed towards the same person. There's also a picture there by, who is it, Summit, S-U-M-M, number one T. But he had a picture of actually the TR20Ps and really from a dress. Now, his photo's a little cockeyed, and I hate it because I'm kind of a snob because we take so many photos here at WRX, but they're not near as thick as I thought they were going to be. They're definitely got a little thicker sole than the V's, but they're not crazy big. But definitely something that I want to try. I mean, I don't know if they'll necessarily make the bag, but the irons look really good. He also said that the ball speed there is pretty good. It's not necessarily going to blow anything else out of the water, but it's not also going to be left behind. So it's not anything that's, you know, and I think with drivers and the limitations they have, you're not going to have anything that's crazy, you know, ball speed wise or anything that fast anymore. I think everything's gonna be pretty close. It's going to come down to fittings, things like that to get you more distance. But it is interesting to see, you know, people starting to post photos of these TR20s and stuff, because they do look really good. And I got to believe, I mean, I've hit Hamna irons before, some wedges. They're probably going to feel great. They're, you know, they're going to be super soft and extremely responsive. So be exciting to try those and see. It was an MTEX 22. I mean, he said he's pretty impressed with the drivers, and, you know, he's got a clean look, all that. You know, ball jumped off the face, you know, but it's not loud. It's not crazy loud or anything like that. said the TR20 feels really hot. He played a 785 Srixon, the Z785 driver. Said the TR20 feels hotter. So, yeah, that's something there, which, you know, at least it feels like the ball's going. But from a dress, the thing looks great. So the Humna stuff's going to be interesting. You know, the Vizard shafts are going to be interesting as well because, I mean, I'm a shaft nut. I typically don't play anything stock. Like I said, my sim driver, when I picked it up, I took the head and left the stock shaft in the office because I don't need it. But they're supposedly pretty good high-end shafts. So, you know, we're going to see about those as well. But I'm excited to kind of hit the Humna stuff when I start getting back out and able to play and hit some balls again. But for right now, you know, it's just one of those I get to just sit online like everybody else and kind of lust after them. So it's one of those things where, you know, what do you think about, you know, TR20s? I think the lineup's good. I think it's going to do well. I mean, is it going to sell as much as TaylorMade or Cobra or whatever? No, but I think it's going to, you know, do pretty well. And it's definitely going to, they're going to sell some irons and drivers this year compared to last year. So regardless of what Justin Rose is doing. So, yeah, that's kind of about it all I got. I mean, it's one of those things. I'm going to try to do some more video stuff, maybe some Instagram Live when my irons show up. I'm hoping they show up tomorrow or today for the people listening to the podcast. So when I reshaft those, hopefully I'll do a little video there. And then, you know, we'll sit there. I'm just going to be sitting there putting on my putting mat, trying to figure out which putter is going to make it. I've been kind of battling it out between Odyssey's, well, it's a Stroke Lab Black 10, but it doesn't have a Stroke Lab shaft anymore. It's got a stability shaft. And then I've got the Toulon Chicago, which I really do like. It looks great. It feels really good. I don't know that I'm putting better than, you know, I think the Black Series 10 is still probably cemented in the bag there before that. And then, you know, I've got a couple of my old trusty ones. I was messing around with an Adele Brick that our old boy Tursky left in the office. So I was messing around with that, and it's kind of interesting. I don't love the look, the way that double bend shaft goes into the head and the head's pressed forward. I don't necessarily love, but it is what it is. So just kind of be sitting there putting and, you know, trying to scratch the itch the best I can. So it's, yeah, the other thing I have to decide is I've got another Club Connects tip and I've got to decide what shaft goes in. So I've got a couple shafts sitting there. I've got a Tensei AV. So the newer one, it came out of a Callaway driver. So, I mean, it's just one of the stock ones there. It's not like a pro. Then I'm thinking about putting a Club Connects tip on. I also have a Fuji Speeder Evo 6 or Evo 5 661 that I hit really well for a while that I might put a tip on as well just because I hit that shaft really well. So we'll see. I've got also got to get my hands on some new shafts. I really want to get my hands on a new TPT shaft. I want to try that. I really like the graphics. It's pretty cool. I know kind of their thing's getting pushed around just because of all the crap going on, you know, in the world. So those are kind of delayed a little bit, but I want to get my hands on a TPT. I think I will as soon as they become available. I'll probably go see my boy Adam over at Club Champion and kind of do a little fitting there with their line. I definitely want to get my hands on some of the new LA Golf stuff. I know I talked to those guys a little bit. I think, you know, everybody's in the same boat where things are just kind of pushed back right now, but definitely want to get my hands on some of the LA Golf stuff because it looks pretty good as well. So those are definitely things I'm going to need Club Connects tips for. So I will be, you know, adding to the collection of shafts that I will be hitting here, but we'll see. And then the other thing too, I got to order my 50 degree wedge and figure out something to stamp in it because I can't have a wedge that's just plain. So my 50 is going to be, it's going to match my 55, which is the MD5 Jaws in the gray or the slate or however they label it. The darker finish, I'm going to order the 50. I might order the 4810 and bend it to 50. So that way I can basically get a 5012 without having to go into the wide sole. I like the wide sole in my 55. Because I basically have a 56 that I bent to 55. And it's the W grind, the wide sole. Really love it out of the bunker, all that. But I don't know if I necessarily want the wide sole in my gap wedge. So I think I'm going to go maybe 48-10, you know, standard sole, S grind, and then bend it to 50. So it'd be a 50-12, but with a, you know, the narrower sole. It's probably what I'm going to do. And then I'll, of course, stamp it up so it, you know, says 50 on there. But other than that, that's about all I've got going. I'm going to just be hanging out at home like everybody else. I'll probably be down here. I need to organize my shop. I'm working on, I got a couple holes where my furnace is and all that, that I'm working on patching up, trying to make things look a little better. So I'm going to hopefully get a little of that done while I'm stuck inside, and then work on my putting. But other than that, that's about all I've got. So again, hopefully everybody's staying safe. Hopefully everybody's staying sane, trying, you know, without golf or anything. And, you know, if you have any questions, you know, definitely follow me on Instagram at TG2WRX. Same thing on Twitter. If you're seeing this video on YouTube, please think about subscribing, and it definitely helps us out. So we're able to open a few doors for us and all that if you do. So I would appreciate it if you did follow us and all that. And, you know, we'll talk to you guys next week.